Hello, listeners, and welcome to the Dark Matter Magazine podcast, an audio presentation of the short fiction, interviews, and features you'll find within the pages of Dark Matter Magazine. Our magazine strives to curate the best and darkest of sci-fi and horror from both new and established voices. This podcast is no different. Listener discretion is advised. I am thrilled to announce here the release of Ai Jiang's novella, Ling Wen. It's available in print, EPUB, and now as an audiobook narrated by the incomparable Nancy Wu. And if you'd like to check it out, we have a link in this episode's description. For more stories like this one, visit darkmattermagazine.shop. For yearly subscriptions and 20% off every purchase, sign up for a premium or deluxe membership with Dark Matter. Memberships start for as low as $1 per month. For more info or to sign up, visit darkmattermagazine.shop/pages/memberships. Now it's time to dive into this episode. The Revolving Couch Therapy Ride. Written by Bo Balder. Performed by Bridie Yurisevich. Edited and sound designed by Allie Nesbitt. Produced by Phil McLaughlin.
They enter the revolving couch. Maxie is nervous. Her friend Joine, not so much. "It's like at the carnival," Joine says. Maxie knows Joine hasn't been in here before, although everyone in their circle of friends has. Or says they have. They're kind of mean girls. Maybe they're lying. Maxie's only sometimes part of their circle when Joine decides to include her. So she has no basis on which to judge this. Joine is the kind of girl who can believe things are fun before she has experienced it and is always proven right. Maxie's not like that. She's wary of life in general. Much of it turned out to be not a whole lot of fun. She's out of work and her best friend's Joine. That says it all. A server, wide smile, spotlessly white apron, gestures them to a booth with two couches facing across a table. "Madison told me," Joine says, "private seating for everyone." She smiles up at the server. "A cinnamon iced coffee, extra cream." Maxie freezes for 2 seconds. Then she remembers she'd picked out a beverage from the menu at home to minimize anxiety. "A mint tea, honey, no honey." "Coming right up." The server brings them their drinks and then hands them a second menu. "These are the rules. You have a conversation. You rate them with the button there. You move on to the next person. Rinse, repeat. Got it?" Maxie nods. Two buttons flash on the table in front of her. "Was the server helpful?" Green. "Unhelpful?" Red. Maxie may have nodded, but she realizes she has no clue what is going to happen next. She presses red. The server winces and moves away. "Did you press red?" Joine says. "Never do that. You don't want that poor server's pay or tips to get docked." Maxie feels terrible. I thought I was supposed to be honest. Wincing at Joine's eye roll, the whole cafe seems to tilt and twist. Maxie closes her eyes. When she opens them, another person is sitting across her. There's a joint between the two halves of the table. It continues up into the wall and ceiling of the mini booth. Did everything actually revolve? Her mint tea is gone, just vanished. The other person across her coughs.
"Hi there, I'm Trent."
Maxie frowns at him. What just happened here? Have you done this before?" Trent shakes his head.
"Some free advice. It's better to smile and to introduce yourself next time."
He presses a button. Again, that sickening lurch and a stabbing pain in her temple. Maxie realizes she's just been raided when a red minus one starts to pulse in the corner of her eye. What kind of therapy is this?
descended from the rats in a maze kind? Let's shock them if they get it wrong? She forces herself to smile as the next candidate slots in across the table. Hi, I am Maxie. How are you doing? Kathy, this is terrible. I wish I'd never started this. The girl says with tears in her eyes. I know, Maxie says. Let me help. She smiles again, more naturally, and pushes the green button. Kathy flushes in relief and gives Maxie a good rating as well. The girl and her couch revolve away. Okay, that wasn't so hard. But what is this supposed to teach her? Empathy in 30 seconds? Next, another guy. Maxie's anxiety freezes up her face. She knows this is not a good smile, but she has to try anyway. Hi, I'm Maxie, she says. How are you doing? Jeff, let's just give each other a green and get on with it, okay? Sure. Maxie presses the green button. An arrow of pain in her temple tells her that Jeff has not reciprocated. Does he think this is a game he can win on points? Or maybe he's right and cooperation is just not to her advantage. This thought makes her head ache, in a different place than the pain of her two minuses pulsing at the edge of her vision. Another person slides into view. Maxie repeats her words and gives a green rating. This is what she can do. She's been foolish enough to step inside, but she shouldn't succumb to fear and anger. She can at least be kind. And kind she is. Encounter after encounter, there are so many people sitting across from her that she feels nothing anymore. No embarrassment and anxiety, and truth be told, no kindness either. But she will fake it. The next encounter is a guy who lunges at her over the table and squeezes her throat until the world shrinks and darkens. Give me a green or I'll kill you. To Maxie's immense surprise, her right hand slaps the red button instead. Threatening her, is he? She doesn't care anymore. As the idiot yells at the spike of pain in his head and revolves away, she changes her mind. No more Miss Nice Maxie. She will repay rudeness with red, kindness with green. Time she stands up for herself. Joine slides into view. Maxie almost doesn't recognize her. Joine has aged years, it seems. Her face is wan and lined with tiredness and defeat. Maxie reaches out and grasps Joine's hand. Oh my God, you're still here? I thought you had got out long ago. Joine cries. What was I thinking getting us in here? I bet those mean bitches lied about what happened to them. We'll never get out. We'll die in here. Oh, we're already dead. Maxie is reminded that the mean bitches did get out. What else did they say? How did they get out? Joine cries and shakes her head. She seems lost here. For Maxie, being lost isn't new. She's been there her whole life. Joine's presence strengthens her, and she starts thinking again. The revolving couch is a machine. It doesn't have infinite capacity. People have come out before. That means there's a victory condition. A way to get this to stop. To get out. What could it be? Niceness hasn't worked for her. She has 5 red minuses pulsing in her eye. Tit for tat? She has read somewhere that is what computers do. She's been doing that for a while, with no change. People aren't computers. Honesty? But then if she is honest, would she give Joine a green button? She knows, really, that Joine isn't that nice. It's only that the two of them are on the bottom of the pecking order and so have been thrown together. Loyalty versus honesty? Loyalty wins out. Green for Joine. Then honesty for everyone else. Joine disappears, still sniveling. One of the red minuses in Maxie's vision winks out. She'll take that as a good sign.
5 encounters later, an empty seat wheels into place across from her. A plasticized card sits on the table. Barista wanted. Apply? Yes? No? Maxie needs a job. But more time in this horrible place? Hell no. Her hand hovers over the red button. Wait. Job hours are finite. You can quit a job. This is an improvement over encounters from which there is no escape. This is the escape. She slams down on the green button.
Thank you for listening to Dark Matter Magazine. This podcast has been a presentation of Dark Matter Audio Lab, produced by Allie Nesbitt and executive produced by Rob Carroll and Phil McLaughlin. For more stories and content like this, please visit darkmattermagazine.shop, where you can subscribe to the magazine and learn more about our authors and performers. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us, and we'll see you again with a new episode in 2 weeks.